Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
And a good Saturday morning, everyone. Paul Ramo in the studios on this beautiful Saturday morning. Dick Newman. Dick is in Windham at Windham High School today for Section 3AA Individual Wrestling with Danny Lee. And we will be picking up the wrestling action around noon today. Starts at 10 o'clock this morning, but there's plenty of action all afternoon. Semifinals, championship rounds, wrestlebacks, and wrestling for true second matches this afternoon. So we'll have that on the air for you right here on Q92 at Dickie. Looking forward to that. A lot of things happening today. Of course, we've got Section 3A girls basketball happening over in Montevideo today. Four games about that. We'll talk with Dylan Erickson of the Eagles about that in a little bit here. And let's run through some boys basketball scores from last night. Here's a thriller. Sleepy Eye St. Mary's beat Central Minnesota Christian 66-65 in overtime. RTR beat Edgerton 84-54. Montevideo down McRae 84-67. And La Caprile Valley Eagles, they're up in height, and they defeated the Owls 58-41. And we want to talk about that game and a couple more games with head coach Robin Rademacher, who joins us by phone this morning. Good morning, Robin.
Morning, Paul.
Busy week for the Eagle boys.
Yeah, it was. It kind of seems that way all year. It's just been, you know, game after game, and that was fun. We have a full schedule this year. We played a 26-game schedule, so we've had a beautiful winter. There hasn't been, other than the one Saturday where we went to Dubrook, South Dakota, everything has been just right on time. We haven't had to cancel any practices or reschedule games, so it's been a lot of fun, and, you know, basically just look at your schedule and see what you got coming up. And so we had a busy week, like you said. We had three games this past week.
Yeah. Well, I think we were out there Tuesday. You hosted McRae.
Yep, a team that we're very familiar with. That's a group just very similar to us, and they had some kids last year. They didn't have any seniors basically on our team, very similar to us. And first time we played them at their place, we were down one with a minute and a half and ended up getting away. I think we lost by seven or eight, but as a team we knew coming in that we match up very well with, and it should be an entertaining game, and I think it lived up to that. We were right in the game the whole time, just back and forth. I think we went in the locker room up this time. I think Eli Hagelin, if I'm remembering right, I don't have the book right in front of me, I got some stats, but hit a shot right before halftime, kind of a wild shot.
Yep.
Had set up a play, and it didn't really work out how we wanted, but the result was the same. He hit a long three. We go in the locker room up, like I said, and we talk about, we've had struggles all year about playing a full basketball game, and I thought, you know, that tournament time right around the corner, here's a time where we need to start doing those things and talk to them. And we came out in the second half and we pushed the lead up. McRae does what they do. They got the post kid as a nice ball player, cut it down, but we were able to hold on. And we talked about that after the game. We won the game 78-71. We talked about the game afterwards about, hey, how hard it is when you're always battling back, how much energy you have to use and how important every shot is and every stop is, and the pressure you put on McRae. So it was a nice job by our kids. I thought we played a good basketball game, and maybe a few too many turnovers, but overall, like I said, very pleased. Like I said, final score 78-71.
Yeah, you didn't have that 4 or 5 minute scoring drought that kept
it. Right? It haunted us all year.
Yep. Yeah, that was a full game against McRae. That was good to see. So.
Yeah, it was entertaining, I'm sure, for the fans and for you guys up there. It's back and forth. Our team shot the ball really well. We shot as a team, we shot 57% from the floor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they shot 40%. We hit 10 of 16 three-pointers for 63. They were 12 of 26. We were 4 or 5 from the line. We did a better job rebounding. We actually were only out-rebounded on the game by 6, and that was on the offensive rebounds. We struggled in the first half. I think the one possession they had four opportunities with it. They out-rebounded us offensively 17-4. But on the defensive side, we did a better job in the second half. That way of rebounding, like I said, we only got out rebounded by 6 on the night. Assists, we had 23 assists on those 32 field goals, so the kids were sharing the basketball. One Achilles heel, we had 17 turnovers. They went to a little half-court trap, and then later in the game, just not quite used to that, where we have the lead and we're trying to play keep away and run some time. We ended up with 17 turnovers, so that's something what we'd want to correct. Scoring on the night, very balanced. When we had just about 5 guys in double digits. We were led by Caden Molden, TJ Mitchell, best offensive game he had. He was aggressive from the get-go. Ended up with 16. Davis Patzer, 15. Matt Arden, 14. Eli Hagelin, 9. And then we had Baxter Koloff with a basket and Peyton Rademacher with 2 free throws to round out our scoring. Rebounds, we had TJ with 11, Caden Molden with 9 to lead us there. Assists, we had Eli Hagelund and Davis Patzer with 4, and Tygan Allpress filling in nice, playing some nice minutes for us, coming down, had 3. Overall, like I said, I was very pleased. Kids that all played did a nice job. They played their roles, and it was a nice team win.
Good. And then, Montevideo? Or yep. What was the next game?
Montevideo.
Yep, Montevideo. Yep. Okay.
We had Montevideo coming over on Thursday, and it was a parents' night, senior night, and as the coach and a different hat, too, as a parent, that was an emotional day for the kids. Last time they get to play at home, you know, when you've seen these kids, all the seniors, the 5 seniors, I taught all 5 of these kids since 4th grade. So I've known them all the way through, and to see those 5 seniors, our first son, Shitaro, Caden Molden, Eli Hagelund, Peyton Rademacher, and TJ Mitchell, was a nice, so we got all 5 of those kids a start. And we knew Montevideo has a nice team. They're talented. They're not the tallest team, but boy, do they put pressure on you. So those kids, we had a nice talk before the game, and let's go out there and have fun with this. It's your last game at home, and to think back and reflect on all the time and energy that has been put into basketball for these kids. So it was fun. Probably didn't get the results we wanted. We ended up losing a game 69-45. Once again, I thought there in the second half we were down, I think, 11 with the ball and made a nice comeback, because I think we went in the locker room down 17 or 18. Come out in the second half, which was a nice bounce back for us, and we made some shots. We had some stops, but they just did too much, hit some shots. We struggled shooting the basketball on the night, but part of that is due to their ability to push the basketball. Our legs were tired by the end of the night. Not always were they scoring, but they get the rebound. All 5 of those guys, they just go, either dribble or kick it up, and it was tough on that end. So, like I said, we lost the game, but overall, it was a good experience. It was fun for the seniors. Thanks to the parents for all coming out. We had a good turnout for that, and we had a couple juniors, Matt Arndt and Davis Patzer, give a speech to all 5 of the kids. And I think there's a lot more to it than just the game of basketball. It's the friendships and the memories that these kids have created throughout the year. So that was a fun thing to see.
Yeah. Stats on the night?
Yeah, we had quite a bit of scoring by different guys. We were led by Caden Molden with 13, and then we were all over the place. We didn't have anybody else in double digits. We had Davis Patzer with 7, Matt Arndt with 6, our first son Shitaro with a 3, Baxter Koloff with a 3, Eli Hagelin with a bucket for 2, Peyton Rademacher with a 3, Tygan Allpress had 2, TJ Mitchell had 4, Carson Bessonen had 2, Brock Bjornhild and Nolan Smith also played but did not score. So like I said, we got everybody in, got a chance to congratulate the kids as they come off, brought the seniors off, and it's hard. It's emotional, and you know, they kind of understand, you know, the finality. You always talk about it throughout the season that, oh, hey, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, and all of a sudden when it's here, it's like, where does the time go? So overall, I said, we would hope for a better performance. I'd like to catch those guys again at some point in time if we weren't on the I got to tip my hat. They're a nice basketball team.
Yeah, my you got a former Eagle on the Montevideo coaching staff.
Yeah, he gave all the way all the secrets. So that was the difference right there. Well, when I look out there and you're coaching, I got Joel Voorhees and John Redepenning on my bench. 2 guys have been with me the last 2 years. I was the B squad coach when they were seniors. Oh. I got Brandon Ramo across the bench. he was a senior my first year as the head coach. So I'm sitting there looking. Now I'm telling myself, I'm getting old, Paul.
Yeah.
But it's for kids that you had, now adults coming back and giving back to the communities and to the kids and the knowledge that they have. So, yeah, it was fun to see all those kids and now that are men and that are coaching.
Yep, Brandon sure enjoys coaching. He learned from you and Troy Sargent, and he really enjoys coaching.
Yep, so like I said, tip my hat to Monty. That was a loss for us, but yet it's good. I think it's been kind of the theme all year. We have a little lull, but yet we're playing great competition, Paul, and I think that's only going to help us when we get here, when the calendar flips pretty soon to March. Our schedule, we didn't sugarcoat it. We went out and we tried to find good teams, and they did a good job of that, and maybe our record at the end of the year isn't where we want it to be, but yet I think it's got us ready for playoffs.
Right. Then last night you traveled up to Hancock, take on the Owls.
Yeah, and we went there. So we had back-to-back Thursday, Friday, getting the bus, not a far trip. So we go up there, and that's a throwback gym, throwback community. It's a small community. They come out, small gym. They got an amazing pep band. They've got a crowd that gets really loud, and our kids, when they were done, said that's the most sweaty they've been all year because it was hot in the gym. So the kids worked hard. Corey Beadle up there does a great job with his program. Hancock's got they got a very good program, and we knew coming in, they're a 500 team, they're a little better record than us. We like to think our conference gets us ready, and our non-conference has us there, and we come out, and we're a little flat right off the get-go. They did the same thing. They started five seniors, and that was encouraging to see some of the kids for Hancock that got their first start. The emotion, and if you don't get excited for that, that's pretty neat that those kids don't get to play a lot but have been about for basketball their whole lives, and to hear their name announced across the speaker and run out and get the high fives, that was enough for me. That was pretty cool. So I tip my hat to Corey for doing that, because that's the stuff that it's about. We won the basketball game 58-41. I thought we pushed the ball well. We rebounded the ball well. We didn't shoot the free throws as well as we would have liked, but we got to the line a lot. And the kids played a nice basketball game and got to win. And we treated this game like a playoff game. We said in the locker room before the game, hey, the playoffs start tonight. Let's get in that mindset. Every possession, every rebound, we got to go give that little bit of extra tonight. So when we're ready, we treated some of the players on the other team. We put CMCS names on some of the Hancock players. Say, hey, this is the kid. This is how we're going to have to guard him next week when we get to previewing who we match up. So kids did a nice job. It was a low-scoring game. I think shots were hard to come by for both teams. We shot 32% from the night, but our defense limited them to 26%. Both teams hit 7 three-pointers. We only took 19. They took 33 three-pointers. So we shot it at 37. Anytime you can be close to 40, that's a good stat from the three-point line. We were 11 of 17 from the free throw line, but we missed a number of one-on-ones in it, and the front ends of two shots, and kids were frustrated with themselves after the game. But I said, you know, look at the positives. We got there. We did what we were supposed to on that end. Rebounding wise, we did a good job. We ended up leading the rebound category or statistic 40-38. So that was nice to see. Assists were very similar. We had 12, they had 13. We had 7 steals to their 4. We took care of the basketball better. We only had 9 turnovers on the night to their 14. So overall, nice stat night for us. Nice basketball game. Some scoring on the evening. We were left with 19. Davis Patzer with 18. TJ Mitchell with 10. Matt Arndt with a 3, Baxter Kalloff with 4, Eli Heglin with 4, and Peyton Rademacher and Tygan Allpress played but did not score. They each only took 2 shots on the night. Rebounds, Molden had 11 and TJ had 9, along with Eli 7, so pretty balanced on there. Assists on the night, we had Davis with 4 and Peyton with 3 assists. Davis led us with steals with 3, but I thought overall we took care of the basketball better and played a nice game.
Okay, good. I think that got you the 10-win mark, right?
Yep, it got us a final up record. Like I said, probably isn't where we wanted to be or what I envisioned either, but that's water under the bridge now. We can't look at it because as we get to March here, our records are all 0-0. So, yep, we ended up 10-16 on the year.
Okay, well, let's preview. The seedings came out yesterday for Section 3A boys. Let's preview that a little bit, Robin.
Yeah, we got the sixth seed, and we kind of figured that's where we're going to end up when I talked to the coaches. We're going to end up in the six, but the three seed could have been anybody from Mineota, DMCS, or McRae is kind of what I felt. You know, Dawson kind of stands out as the one seed. Camby kind of felt like was locked in the five, so we didn't know who we were going to get out of that, and it ended up being a pretty close vote, and we ended up getting Central Minnesota Christian at the three. McRae was the two, and Mineota dropped to the four, so we play Central on next week, Saturday, at the last game of the day over in Montevideo at 4 o'clock.
Okay. Yeah, there's four. I like that setup over there. You get to watch four games for the price of one, and, you know, you get to see everybody play. So
it is. For a fan, you know, they call it Super Saturday. It reminds you of March Madness. You win, you move on. You lose, you go home. You got a lot of people coming in. If you're a basketball fan, it's a great place to go sit down and watch. As people know, if you've been following this area, our conference is loaded. We bring in Wabasso as a team that's not in the conference. We lose Ortonville and KMS, or not in this. KMS goes up to 2A for the playoffs. Ortonville's not in, so it's basically a bunch of conference teams that are going to be grinding and battling here in Montevideo.
All right. Well, I appreciate the report this morning, Robin. Thank you, and I don't think we need to talk next Saturday because you got practice all week, right?
Well, we have practice all week. We'll have a shoot-around, and then we'll hop on the bus and get over there, and we want to watch the McRae game ahead of us because they have the game right in front of us, and if we're able to do what we think we can do and get a win, we'll face the McRae RCW winner, I believe.
Yep,
RCW slash Wabasso.
Yep.
I think RCW Wabasso play the pigtail game, and the winner of that plays McRae.
Okay. All right, real good, Robin. Thank you for the report on the Eagle boys this morning.
All right, thank you. Have a good week, Paul.
Yep. Robin Rademacher, head coach of the Lockerbaugh Valley boys basketball team. We'll take a break, and we'll continue with the coaches show right after this.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. This week at the Country Butcher in Dawson, the ribeye special, fresh prime ribeye steaks, $18 a pound, and frozen ribeye steaks, half price. Beer battered walleye, $11.99 a pound. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest. Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving more than 100 years.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Information or live at www.jimsclothing.com.
This is Mitchell Silty with Q92 Sports. Join us Monday night as Q92 Radio broadcasts the Camden Conference Boys Basketball Championship game between the 24-2 Dawson Boyd Blackjacks and the 20-6 Mineota Vikings from Dawson Boyd High School. Tip-off is at 7 o'clock with Paul Ramo and myself on the call. That's the 24-2 Dawson Boyd Blackjacks versus the 20-6 Mineota Vikings in the Camden Conference Championship game Monday night at 7 o'clock here on Q92. Radio.
The City of Madison is once again offering a financing program for local businesses that would like to do a little fixing up. It's called the Commercial Improvement Program, or CIP, and may be used for lights, awnings, paint, roof repair, and other improvements. Funding is one-third owner investment, one-third loan, one-third forgivable loan from the city. It's for commercial property within Madison city limits. Get all the details on the Commercial Improvement Program at Madison City Hall. Stop in or call 320-598-7373. Let's take a look at some things going on around the area this weekend. Today, there will be a stew feed beginning at 5 p.m., serving till it's gone at the Cut Loose Tavern in Porter. That event is sponsored by the Porter American Legion. The cost is a $10 donation. Porter Fire Department meet raffle starts at 6 o'clock this evening. That'll be at the Cut Loose Tavern in Porter. Come on over to Madison Mercantile between 2:30 and 4 p.m. today for the music of Daryl K. Yankee, playing your favorite acoustic hits from the 70s and beyond. On Sunday, there will be a pasta fundraiser at the Marietta Fire Hall from 11 to 1 with bingo starting at 1 p.m. on the menu spaghetti, chicken Alfredo, lettuce salad with toppings, garlic bread, and more. Takeouts and in-town delivery available by calling 320-668-2153 on Sunday. It's a free will donation event. Includes one bingo card and proceeds will benefit the building of a community center in Marietta, sponsored by the Marietta Hometown Committee. That's Sunday. Also Sunday, the Madison Kiwanis Club will be holding their post-Valentine brunch from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Madison VFW. On the menu, French toast, sausage, fruit, and a beverage for a free will donation, with funds going to strengthening the family.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to talk with Dylan Erickson, head coach of the Lockbrow Valley girls basketball team. And Dylan, section tournaments begin already.
Yeah, it's crazy. We're at that time of year, and boy, it comes fast when it does. And yeah, a little fast for us this year, you know, playing a little bit earlier than today or whatever. But yeah, it's sure, you know, you start the grind in November, or really in June and July, honestly, preparing. And, you know, we get together quite a bit in the summer, and then it comes full speed in November, no looking back. And then all of a sudden, here we are. We're sitting at the towards the end, back half of February here.
Yep. Well, you played Yellow Medicine East on Thursday night in Granite Falls with what is it?
Correct. Yep. 8-9 seed looking to get to Saturday to play Mineola, the 1 seed. Yep.
All right. Well, tell us all about it.
Yeah. So, you know, we played them earlier in the year, just the one time in the south half of the conference. And, you know, it's just maybe one of our poor games of the year. You know, we haven't put a lot of great stretches together by any means, but this was my one of our worst stretches that Friday right before Christmas break, and I felt like maybe we were already on Christmas break a little bit. We just didn't have the juice and the energy, and never really got ourselves going in that game. You know, I thought we had spurts at the end of the half, the first time played them and coming out of half, but throughout long stretches of the game, we just they sat in that 1-2-2 defense, and we just never could get really anything going. And you know, so, you know, a week prior here, leading up to Thursday, we, you know, drilled a lot of things that put us in those situations of being in those junk defenses and how we can get ourselves to move and free ourselves up and the right looks and whatnot. And thought we had a good week of preparation, and, you know, energy was high, and you know, we kind of came into the game. You could tell the girls, you know, a lot of them, again, never played, you know, especially playoff basketball at this level and in the role they're in. And you could tell the nerves were there a little bit. And just from the opening tap, you know, we just, you know, we were just kind of shy and passive and looking for somebody else to be aggressive, and kind of started off slow again. I think after our second, third possession, we got an open look, and Jalen knocked down a three and got us going a little bit. But, again, the first half, it was pretty much back and forth. We'd go up a couple, they'd go up a couple, be tie game, back and forth a little bit throughout that first half. And then we had the last minute of the half, we just had a really bad stretch. We go from up two to down two all of a sudden, a little 6-0 run from them. You know, we had the ball up two on that last minute and didn't get something we wanted. They come down and score, and then we ended up turning it over, you know, 14 seconds left to go in the half. And that was just a big, you know, it doesn't seem like a big deal going up two for them in that half, up 18-16. But, you know, mentally for us, that was a big deal. And, you know, a little 6-0 spurt for them, you know, totally scoring 18 points for them in the first half, you know, and scoring six in the last minute, you know, on some of our mistakes. Really was a switch for us, and, you know, just a mental thing going in down instead of being up two, which we really should have been, or up more, up four, you know, with the basketball at the end of the half. And, you know, just got a little careless and reckless at times, and, you know, set up 28 turnovers for the game, which, you know, that's kind of where we're at for the year. But just a lot of them were just, you know, in inopportune times, and it's never a good time, but they seem to come at really bad times. And we could just never, you know, we could get up 2-4, but we could just never break it open like we had opportunities. And I thought, you know, once we hit a couple of shots, we were really going to break this thing open. And we just never could. And credit to YME and their defense to, you know, throw us all out of sorts again, kind of throughout the game. And even the start of the second half, it was pretty much back and forth until that last few minutes. That Allmake girl, Got hot from three and hit three threes and a longer deuce later in the half there to kind of really stretch their lead and get it to that 8-10. And at that point, we could just never really recover. We had a nice little last two-minute stretch where we hit a few shots and, you know, got it to 7-8, but it just sat to that 10-12 range in that last little lip, and we were just a little bit too late on that to make a good run on it and to get ourselves back, you know, with a chance to strike at the end of the game. But, yeah, again, just, you know, that defense kind of slowed us down, and you know, we just didn't get a lot of clean looks like we wanted to, and we got to the rim, we just didn't execute and finish. And they have a lot of length and size under there. They got, you know, a couple six-footers, and then that Almond girl's got some good size on the outside and plays inside a little bit too. And so the Bowens girl and the Mortensen girl kind of misdirected a lot of our shots, and they got a lot of block shots and tip passes. And like I said, we just never really got in the flow, and we did get some open looks. You know, they just didn't knock fall down for us the game, and could never get us, you know, that confidence, that boost to kind of get in some kind of a run and a rhythm. So it was just kind of choppy for the majority of the game until, like I said, like the end of the game, we got on a little bit of a streak to get ourselves back into it, but just a little bit too late. So that was disappointing. I really didn't believe I'd be having the conversation in the locker room like we had after the game, and hopefully I really fully thought we'd get to Saturday with a chance to take on Mineola.
Right. Well, I think at times you had some good open shots there. At times it just weren't falling for you.
Yeah, no, it's just when we did have nice possessions, yeah, we just didn't couldn't quite finish it off. And you know, we stream a couple, two, three of those together when we had the looks. You know, I think we could have got ourselves to a 6-8 point lead, and in that game we would have felt fairly comfortable with that kind of, you know, the way the scoring had been, that we would have felt that we would have been able to withstand some of this late made shots that they made. And yeah, we lost the Almond girl a couple times and the Sneller girl a couple times, and then that eighth grader Mortensen girl, you know, had a couple buckets late for us or for them too, and just kind of, you know, they scored at the right time, and we just couldn't execute at the right time, and so it just didn't fall our way for sure.
Okay, stats on the night then.
Yeah. Jalen, again, led us in scoring with 15 points, 8 rebounds, an assist, and a few steals, and a couple blocks. We put a lot on her plate, and, you know, in that zone, they stuck to her pretty good, and it was hard to open clean looks. And, again, when we got to the rim, it was physical last night, and we got ourselves a little bit of foul trouble throughout the game, too. And, so we just weren't able to execute around the rim like we wanted to. Kayla Jan had 7 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and a couple steals. Kel Shelstead had 8 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, and a couple blocks. Kai Kranz had 4 points, 3 rebounds, a couple assists, and a couple blocks. Callie Kahn had a bucket for us, 10 rebounds, 2 assists. And then Claire Morris had a couple assists and a rebound. And Zoe Docker came in the second half and got a free throw and a couple rebounds. And so, again, the one good thing is, you know, we bring back, you know, a fair amount of them that played a lot of minutes for us. So hopefully that gained some experience and they're ready to work this summer and put it back down. You know, just talking on the bus last night and things like that, that they seem still hungry and ready to work, and they know they don't want their season to end early like this and run through another, you know, can be a tough long year with what seem like ups and downs like they were. Mm-hmm. This year, and hopefully we can put some more stretches together and look at this experience we got this year, and going forward we can go to work and take a lot of there's still a lot of positives this year, and then a lot of things that we just need to clean up, and with experience going into next year, hopefully a lot of this stuff we're working on something different than some of the same old, you know, mistakes we were making throughout the majority of this year.
Okay, well, we'll take some time next week on the Saturday Morning Coaches Show to wrap up your season, talk about your seniors and the other girls individually, and we'll do that next Saturday then. So,
nope, that sounds good. We can talk about the season recap a little bit and lead us into next year. So, appreciate you covering us all year and supporting us, and all the fans out there that, you know, spent the time and the nights to take their kids out or families come out and support us. We really means a lot to us, and, you know, the girls, we love it. And again, we're going to get back to work and correct this thing a little bit and be back next year.
All right. Thanks, Dylan. Talk to you next Saturday.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Go Eagles.
Dylan Erickson, head coach of the Lock Braw Valley girls basketball team. We'll take a commercial break. Be back with more of the Coaches Show after this.
Prairie Sun Bank is your community bank, helping you turn your dreams into reality, offering 4 locations to serve you better. Prairie Sun Bank will be your partner when you buy a car, a home, or make farm operating decisions. We are here for you with trusted advice and quality service that you can count on, making banking easier with the latest in technology while still providing that small-town personal service that you have come to expect. Bank with Prairie Sun Bank, located in Appleton, Milan, Marietta, and Browns Valley. Pete's Electric Motor Incorporated in Mineota is here to help. Pete's Electric Motor has now brought in the starter and alternators for ag and construction equipment. Pete's Electric repairs electric motors and has new and used electric motors on hand. Pulleys and belts, all your air needs, dryers, hoses, fittings, and cast air compressors. Pete's also has new and used pallet racking. Pete's Electric Motor, with over 25 years of experience, just a mile and a half north of Mineota on County Road 3. Give Brandon a call at 507-872-5188. Pete's Electric Motor Incorporated, Mineota.
For all your building needs at your home-owned independent lumberyard, Sather Building Supply. They're located at 236 North 3rd Street, just off of Highway 212 in Dawson. They're open every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. till 5 p.m. Sather Building Supply. All your building needs. Located at 236 North 3rd Street, Dawson, Minnesota. You can call 320-769-4481. That's 320-769-4481. Sather, where they appreciate your business.
See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison, Minnesota, your local hometown theater. In theater number one, starting Friday the 23rd and showing through Monday the 26th, it's Argyle. It's a comedy spy movie, Argyle, in theater number one, rated PG-13. Held over in theater number two at the Grand, Madam Web, sci-fi action movie, Madam Web, in theater number two. Both show at 7 o'clock nightly, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand. Starting March 1st, it's Bob Marley, One Love. Starting on March 22nd, Ghostbusters. Busters, Frozen Empire at the Grand in Madison. February 24th today. Happy birthday going out to Connie Froggatt, Brianna Ramo Salinger. Happy birthday to Karen Olson Fallis, Peyton Ufkin, Dan Dabrowski. And on Sunday, happy birthday to Don Shellstead, Joanne Loffers, Dick Jackson, Jason Mork, Jonathan DeLean. Happy birthday to Gloria Berg on Sunday, Miranda Bendel, Kathy Kundy, David Jacobson, and Joanne Abramowski. Hope you all have a super day and a great weekend.
Well, welcome back to the Coach's Show. We're going to turn our attention to wrestling. Of course, today, Danny Lee and myself will be down in Wyndham as Section 3AA individuals will be going, and we'll go through the seating meeting results after a little bit, but... If you didn't know, which I don't know why you wouldn't, Team United is going back to the state, and it's been in the newspapers, it's been all over social media and talking about all kinds of things about it, but with me is Hank Ireland, the head coach, and that never gets old about going back to state tournament. So let's hear about last Saturday's up in New London Spicer, Hank.
Yeah, that was a fun day. Boys really showed up, and they showed all their hard work paid off, and it was just kind of left us all kind of speechless. You know, it was pretty fun.
Yeah. So first off, you went against a team that had never been there before, Laverne. They might have been maybe a little intimidated, but they fought a good battle, even though they only won two matches.
Yeah, they fought hard, and Eli Olson got us started right away at 107 with the pinfall. Then Gavin Mortensen won a tight 1-0 match. Then Tygan Long was up 7-1, I think, and then he ended up getting caught, and that was one of Laverne's wins there. Then Ben got a pinfall in the first period. Grayson Olson won a close 3-2 match. Holland Shocker got a pinfall. Dan Gunlickson got a pinfall. Cameron Sather got a pin. Mason Peterson got a pin. And then at 172, Noah Meyer ended up losing by a tech fall over Sam Rock. He's ranked pretty high. I think he was a state placer last year in the state. Right. Then Parker Boffin got a pinfall. Landon Olson got a 52-second pin. And then Brady Rohde got a pinfall to advance us with the score of United 60, Laverne 11. And yeah, that was a really good way to start off the day. You know, we kind of knew we were the favorite in that one, and kind of knew it was going to be a lopsided one, but the boys came out and got a good warm-up match for the finals, you know, and Marshall had a good showing, too, against New Ulm. They kind of took it to them, and so both teams were coming in pretty hot. Yeah, then, like you said, the finals started up, and we knew there was going to be a lot of close matches. There was about seven matches that we knew were going to be toss-ups, but we had to win them. One of them was at 107 right away, and Eli wrestled a heck of a match. Wrestled very smart and ended up losing 5-1. Then at 114, Gavin Mortensen worked hard to pick up a bonus point and ended up getting a major decision, so he ended up winning 15-7, so that was a big point for Gavin to go and get. Then at 121, Tygan Long lost to Landon Marthaler by a pin. Then Ben Gunlickson came right back and pinned Dawson DeCamp in 52 seconds. At 133, Grayson Olson bumped up a weight class to go and wrestle the number one ranked kid in the state, and he wrestled very smart. Didn't go to his, stayed off his back as much as he could and only gave up a tech fall. So that was another team point that Grayson saved for us.
Right.
Then Holland Shocker lost 7-0 to Tyson Luwagi. Won by a decision 10-3 at 145. At 152, Cameron Sather won a 4-2 decision. At 160, Tate Cadenzo pinned Mason Peterson for United in the first period. Tate's a tough wrestler there. Then Tucker Feeney from Marshall ended up getting a major decision over Noah Meyer, and that was a big save by Noah to not get pinned in that match. So that saved us a couple points there. And then going into the last three, we knew we had to win, and pin. And we knew there were going to be tight ones. And Parker Bothan was up, went to his back, put him on his back. It was kind of a back-and-forth match, and Parker ended up winning 11-4. That was a big momentum one there. And then at 2:15, Zach DeBeer won five. He was down, I think, 1-0 going into the third, and then ended up scoring five to win 5-1 at 2:15. And then we're down by five going into heavyweight. And once the roadie chance started, you kind of knew it was going to be over. And Brady, he didn't waste much time. He got the pinfall in 24 seconds to give Team United the win 28-27. Yeah, that was about as exciting as you can get to win the last three like we did and to get a pinfall at the end to seal the deal. That was about everything you could ask for those three seniors up top to have it come down to them. And then I think that's every heavyweight's dream to be team down by five. You need a pinfall to send your team to state, and goes out there and does it. That's a pretty special moment for those boys.
For sure, and you mentioned throughout the match, saving points and gaining points, team points, it makes a big difference in the match. And I think the lead changed five times throughout with the final lead change was at the heavyweight class. So, yeah, that was great. So, yeah. So now you go to state, and the brackets are out. Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah, we leave on Wednesday. I think there's a pep fest at 8:30 in Dawson, then 9:30 at Lacaparle, and then 10:30 in Montevideo. Then we'll head down to the cities there, go to the X, get checked in. Then we think we're going to practice in Augsburg.
Okay.
At Augsburg College, they're nice enough to let us practice there. Then it's early morning Thursday. I think wrestling starts at 9 or 9:30, one of their two. We got Cass and Manorville right away in the first round. They're a tough team. They're the number two seed. So we wrestled them last year in the first round, too. And we knew we win the close ones again, you know, we can have a chance to beat them. But
sure.
That's what you got to do. That's what it comes down to, you know. It's what we had to do against Hutchinson, that's what we had to do against Marshall. So, I mean, it should be some good matchups. And then if we win, we'll have the winner of Totino Grace and Dilworth, Glendon Felton. Yep. Mm-hmm. So I like our matchups against both of those, either of those teams, too. So it'll be a fun day of wrestling on Thursday, and these boys have earned it and deserve to be there.
So if you win a match, you're guaranteed three matches in the tournament. So that would be good. So, well, you'd have to win the second one if you lose the first one, but you can place then either sixth,
yep, that's what we did.
Fourth or third. So, yeah, good, good. So their section, now you turn to attention to individuals, and that is today down in Wyndham. starting at 10 o'clock, and you have a full team of 13 wrestlers. You had the seating meeting, I believe, on Wednesday night. We don't know the brackets yet, but we know how the rest.
Yep, at 107, Eli Olson, he got seeded number two seed. At 114, Gavin Mortensen is the three seed. At 121, Tygan Long is unseeded. At 127, Ben Gunlickson is the two seed. At 133, Holland Shocker is the three seed. At 139, Dan Gunlickson is the one seed. 145, Cameron Sather is the two. At 152, Mason Peterson is the six seed. At 160, Brian Rohde is the five seed. At 172, Noah Meyer is unseeded. And then our three big guys up top are all one seed. Parker Boffin at 189 is the one seed. Zach DeVere at 215 is the one. And Brady Rohde at heavyweight is the one seed. Right. So, yeah, we got a lot of guys in a great spot to punch our ticket to individual state. But the seeds, we tell them the seeds, yeah, they're great and all, but they don't mean anything. You know, you got to show up and wrestle. You're going to wrestle two tough matches, and you got to win both of them to send yourself into state. If you're the underdog, go let it fly. If you're the top dog, go take care of business.
That's for sure. And wrestling starts, as we mentioned, at 10 o'clock. I think the semis scheduled somewhere around noon, and then do some wrestlebacks and the championship matches should be over by about 5 o'clock, and if there's true seconds, which normally there is, they would be after that. The winner has to take third place and then not meet the runner-up in the finals and then beat that runner-up to get a true second match. So.
Yep. And then for those that qualify, they'll wrestle this next Friday, Saturday,
right
after the
team. Okay. And I think for a state tournament, everything for Class AA starts about early in the morning at 9 o'clock in the morning. But they'll be ready. They'll be wide awake and ready to go. And any of the state participants we will interview after the tournament is over on today, so along with yourself. So best of luck there.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Yeah, well, we'll be covering in and out throughout the day today, and you can go on the podcast and listen to those as well, probably tomorrow, but we'll give you updates and then do some live coverage down in Windham today. So we'll have more of the Culture Show after these messages.
Trust Carrie Harding of Southwest Insurance Services in Canby and Grinnell Mutual to look forward on your livelihood. We understand you have a lot at stake in your small business. That's why we offer specialized insurance coverages so you can take care of business. Find the coverages you need to fit your company's operations so you can trust in tomorrow. Contact Carrie Harding, your local Grinnell Mutual agent, at 507-223-7248 today. Trust in Tomorrow is a registered trademark of Grinnell Mutual Reinsurance Company.
Ludvigson Tile is proud to be a part of the local ag economy. Every year, we install over 100 water management systems made from quality Prinsco pipe for farmers all across our region. By managing water on fields, we help them maximize yields, decrease soil erosion, and grow healthier, more resilient crops. Ludvigson Tile is accepting projects for the spring and fall tiling seasons. Visit Ludvig.com or give us a call today at 320-226-7022.
Shadowland Farms Trucking of Appleton offers custom trucking, lime application, and excavation. Call Brad Mitchell for more information at 320-297-0142. And Shadowland Farm Trucking is a proud sponsor of all Lacaparral Valley sports and activities. Paul Ramo back here in the studio, wrapping up the Coach's Show. Everybody over in Montevideo today is four Section 3A girls basketball playoff games. First game at 11 o'clock features Minneota, the number one seed, taking on Yellow Medicine East.
The 12:30 game is the Dawson Boyd Blackjacks, the fifth seed, taking on the fourth seed Lakeview Lakers. The 2:30 this afternoon, Wabasso will play Central Minnesota Christian. And at 4 o'clock, Canby, the Lancers, the sixth seed, will take on the third seed, McRae Wolverines. That's in Montevideo today. And, of course, we'll join Dick Newman and Danny Lee for Section 3AA individual wrestling action from Wyndham High School. That will pick up the action starting around noon today. We'll see who can make it to the state wrestling tournament next week. And just a reminder, I'll be in Dawson on Monday for the Camden Conference Boys Basketball Championship game. Dawson Boyd will be hosting the Minneota Vikings. That's Monday at 7 o'clock. And next week we'll talk with head coach Carly Wager of the Shadows. The Shadows were at state last week. They placed third in Jazz and third in High Kick. So we'll wrap up the Shadow season next Saturday on the Coaches Show. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show today.